Hello, you're watching the Lay Novell Sprint video series on the theology of the body. This video is dedicated to audience 62. We are your hosts. I am Jeremy Haushotter.
And I'm Guillermo Moreno.
So this is the third of the four audiences that are dedicated to the topic of art. And the question is, what is the role of the naked body in art and culture? And so we'll begin with reviewing here some of what we've talked about previously. So the Sermon on the Mount, particularly, we're referencing Matthew 5. It is a appeal to the heart for purity. And this appeal also applies to media, art, the mass culture, pop culture, etc. And shame places a limit upon cultural products for the sake of the human person in defense of the value of the human person. So there's a positive content that is being defended here, and that is the value of the human person and also the sexual value of the body. So porno vision, which is a reference to it's in reference to film and photography. Pornography is a reference to literature. Both of these things, they occur when personal sensibility is overstepped in regards to the naked body. And this overstepping is a violation of the body's right to intimacy. And this intimacy is rooted in the order of gift in the spousal meaning of the body. So we know that after the fall, in the state of original sin, man and women experience shame over the body, and shame protects the sexual value of the body by keeping it integrated with the value of the human person. And so shame has this positive role in defending this great value, the value of the human person, and his or her sexual value as being masculine or feminine. And so when we step beyond this limit of shame, we violate this personal sensibility of what are the proper boundaries within chastity. And once we do that in terms of art and media, then we have the problem of pornography and porno vision. And what we have to keep in mind is that the body in its masculinity or femininity has this order of gift inscribed in it. The body has a spousal meaning, and because it is inscribed with this order of gift, we as bodily persons are called to the communion of persons. And when we violate this order of gift, we do so in an intentional manner. When it comes to cultural products, it is in terms of reproduction and representation. We've talked about how you can have a person in their nakedness be a model for art, because there you can maintain this sense of personal sensibility, but that can become violated when the human body is taken out of this context, out of this right to intimacy, out of this order of gift, to become a object for essentially mass consumption. And when we say object for mass consumption, what we mean is it's to incite concupiscent desire. Right? Because we could think in a sense that if I'm looking at a beautiful painting of a naked, involves a naked woman, well, certainly there's a naked woman. There's, in a sense, this consumption of the painting. I'm looking at it. I'm admiring the marvelous details of everything. And that is not necessarily a bad thing when this is done within the context of respecting the value of the person, the sexual value, and the value of the femininity of the that is inscribed within the painting. But if the painting itself is meant to provoke concupiscent desire, then that itself is a new problem. And that is precisely the problem of porno vision. And we have this problem more so with film and photography, because the body is, it doesn't undergo this process that JP2 calls transfiguration, where you have the paint or the sculpting, and the you have this body that's naked that is the model, but it's being transformed through the artistic creativity. Instead, with film and photography, you are using technology to reproduce this image or this video, and the naked body is not being transformed, transfigured through this artistic process, but it's being captured, reproduced so that it can be shared. So it's a entirely different kind of process, even though film and photography can be artistic. This problem with the naked body leads to a anonymous objectivity where the body is now something that's just anonymously there for you to consume. And that is a problem. So that's kind of all background reviews material from the previous two audiences. Guillermo, do you have anything you'd like to add at this point?
Yes, I do, because what I will add is that, kind of paraphrasing what you shared and adding to it at the same time, there is such a thing as drawing, painting, or sculpting the human body without the intention to incite concupiscence. And I think for any of us, well, we all experience disordered desire, but sometimes it's just challenging to see that there is such a thing, that, well, there's, the two are confused sometimes, just because both kind, well, art and pornovision and pornography, those two different categories, yeah, one may experience some level of arousal just because you have the depiction of a human body, and our bodies are going to react. Just because that's the case, we almost seem to rationalize pornovision and pornography. But no, there is such a thing as an individual artist making a work of art depicting the human body without the intention to incite concupiscence. And the opposite is also true. There is such a thing as producers copying images of the human body with the intention to incite concupiscence, and also literally pornographia, the writing or drawing of the prostitutes. Similarly, there is such a thing as an individual artist drawing certain things with the intention to incite concupiscence. That's how I wanted to phrase that.
Yeah, no, that's a wonderful way of putting it. And actually, you bring up some themes that we'll be talking about later in this audience and the next one.
Awesome.
Yeah, so no, everything you said are actually points that JP2 is going to make soon. Yeah, so thank you for that, Guillermo.
Yes.
All right. So the violation of shame. Shame and personal sensibility are offended because of this transfer from what belongs to within the communion of persons is now placed within the context of social communication becoming public property. Now, some people may argue that depicting the body's nakedness or the conjugal union is only natural, that everything human can be depicted, that art has a right to everything. And part of the principle for this argument is the idea that we can do this for the sake of realism. Now, JP2 replied to this kind of argument by arguing in response that we have to consider the whole truth of man, and this requires us to consider the intimacy of the body and the order of the gift that is connected to the body's masculinity and femininity. These must be taken into account if we're going to talk about a full realism. Now, if we are claiming realism while violating the domain of shame and personal sensibility, then this is really a false realism, since the whole truth of man is not being taken into account. So what is happening then is these people that are making this argument for realism, they're essentially arguing for a warped view of reality. And that warped view is warped precisely because it's influenced by concupiscence. Concupiscence has warped their view, so they're saying, well, because it's natural, why not? It's reality. But you're not taking into account the values of the whole truth of man. And so you don't capture the entire reality of what's actually involved here. So I find that to be a very compelling argument. And it's kind of mind-bending in a sense, because we normally think of, yeah, the body, you know, that's natural. There's a realism to this, right? It's part of reality. So why not depict it? You know, that I think that's just part of kind of how Americans especially are kind of trained to think. And I think that's probably because of just the influence of various forces within, ideological forces within our society, such as scientism or naturalism, secularism. We just have this emphasis on kind of biological reality to such an extent that we kind of lose track of the whole truth of man that's more than just something biological. Guillermo, do you have anything like to add concerning this violation of shame?
Not quite, no.
Not quite? Okay. No. Sounds like you have something coming up then.
Yeah.
Okay. We will wait for your
excellent
wise words.
All right.
All right. So the key principle that JP2 appealed to is the truth of man. We need to take into account the whole truth of man, and this is the norm that we must utilize. The body in its nakedness becomes a source of personal communication proper only within the communion of persons. And because of this, then, the sexual value of the body and its role in interpersonal communication within the communion of persons, and this aesthetic question concerning the role of the body within art arises. And so the order of this gift can be threatened by art when the body becomes an anonymous object of appropriation. And so the whole truth of man places a norm. It creates limits that art cannot go beyond. We cannot create, quote, art, end quote, if that art renders the body as an anonymous object for us to appropriate, that is, to use and consume for our concupiscent desire. Once we do so, that's not art. That's porno vision. That's pornography. And so we have to keep this in mind, the whole truth of man. That is the norm. So because of this, this leads us to some norms concerning the artist. The artist must respect the limits of shame that is rooted in the whole truth of man. No one has the right to demand, propose, or allow others to look at images that violate these limits. And so the violation of these limits is a transformation of the object of gift into an anonymous object of social communication. And so the problem of porno vision, pornography, is a problem not because of either Manichaeism or Puritanism, right? We're not arguing in manners such as either of those false ideologies. The pornography and porno vision are problems because they violate the sphere of values rooted in the dignity of the human person. And this realm is something that no one can be indifferent of. Everyone needs to be cognizant of this realm. And if we fail to take it into account, if we fail to properly respond to it, then that makes us evil, because now we are not giving the response rightfully due to the dignity of the human person and the value of the body. And so film, art, photography, these can all help form or destroy these values within the heart of man. And so art, film, photography, culture has a real and serious role when it comes to forming man's heart. If Christ appealed to man's heart to not commit adultery with the woman by not looking at her with concupiscent desire, well, then we need to have a culture that helps foster the right ordering of the heart. And when we have creators that fail to do this, then we are not promoting a culture of chastity and purity. And that itself is something evil. Guillermo, do you have anything you would like to add?
Yes, actually, building off of the title of the previous slide, the truth of man is the norm. There we go. So it almost seems like in historical man, the norm is whatever we experience. Just because I experience these disordered desires, oh, that's the norm. It's natural, as we say. And the opposite is true. And you mentioned, no, you didn't say biologism. You said scientism, biology, naturalism. It almost seems like, okay, there's these functions that we experience, yes, but we're forgetting, we're just not looking at it, at the reality integrally. We're forgetting the personal aspect of the human person, the personalistic aspect of the human person. That in and of itself is the truth of man, and that is the norm. And that's what we're up against in our culture, just showing an integral view of the human person, but we're so stuck in disordered desires as the experiences being the norm.
Yeah, no, that is a great way of putting it.
All right. That was what was on my mind.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Guillermo.
Awesome. Thank you.
Do you have any last thoughts concerning this audience?
I don't.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for watching our video. If you have been enjoying our content, please like, subscribe, and share our social media, such as Facebook and YouTube. Also, please consider making a financial donation through either PayPal or Patreon. You could also support us financially by making a tip through the Brave web browser directly on our website or on YouTube, our YouTube page. Your financial support goes towards the maintenance of our website and our ability to purchase new material so that we can continue providing you with great resources such as this video series and our many articles on our website. On our website at lenovelspreet.com, you can find many, many articles free to read for anyone, as long as they have internet connection, of course, and also our podcast. Guillermo, can you give us more information about our podcast?
Yes, in our other podcast series, we talk about a variety of topics, such as trends in culture and politics, and we always do so from a Catholic personalist perspective. You can listen to our podcast episodes on the La Novela Esprit website in the podcast page under Media, or you could also use that page to locate us on Buzzsprout, where we upload our episodes, and you can listen to us on buzzsprout.com. Or use Buzzsprout to locate us in other popular podcasting platforms, such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
In case you are lost, wondering where is all this social media, you can simply go to lenovelspreet.com/subscribe. There you'll find our Facebook, YouTube, PayPal, Patreon, all the various websites, our podcast is distributed on, and more things. Again, that is at lenovelspreet.com/subscribe. Guillermo, do you have anything else?
Yes, I would like to ask our audience to keep us and our mission in your prayers.
Yes, please keep us in your prayers. We are gracious for those. And with that, we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone. God bless.